Israelites, you can go ahead and find your seats this morning. I'm grateful to hear the buzz in the room. Well, it's my privilege this morning to tell you about a very special guest that you get to hear from today, and it's one of our very own. It's going to be the one, the only, the great Tommy Hayes. Can you make some noise for Tommy Hayes this morning? If you don't know Tommy, man, he is a son of the house, and he runs Messiah Ministries, so we're so grateful to get to partner with and support. He's a worldwide missionary. Him and his wife have been all over the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they do it right here in the Hill Country through a powerful ministry. He teaches and preaches on freedom in Christ, and he's going to bring us a very, very timely word this morning. Let me just tell you, if you can't get stirred up when Tommy preaches, you need to check your pulse because something's wrong with you, because he's that kind of guy. So make some noise one more time for Mr. Tommy Hayes as he comes up. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Pastor Good Brian. To see you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you all, I usually love to share a word, kind of a revival message or something coming out of the evangelist heart the Lord's given me. But really, my message this morning is going to be a little more pastoral, you know, because of all that we've experienced, all that's going on with our neighbors, Kerrville and up and down the Guadalupe River. Who has a heavy heart from all of that? You know, and it's okay to acknowledge our hearts are heavy. We have grief, we have sorrow, some even have questions or anger, frustration. Why, God, and how could you allow this? Anybody have questions like that? I mean, isn't that right? I mean, we just have to be real in the times when we have tragedies in our lives. You know, sometimes it's a wall of water coming down the river. Sometimes it's a wall of bankruptcy or fear or struggles or someone you love's in prison or struggling with being right in their mind or struggling with an addiction. We all have traumatic times in this broken, fallen world, don't we? But part of the journey with Jesus is being real about the struggles, being real about the questions, real about the grief, the sorrow, the sadness. We don't have to hide it. We don't have to bury it. We don't have to pretend like it's not there. And sometimes don't we pretend like it's not there? We put on the mask. How are you doing? I'm fine. And you're not fine. You're mad. You're hurting. You're broken. You're discouraged. You need some hope. You know, so we can be real, especially at the church, the body of Christ, you know, to come together and to be honest, to be real. You know, this week I was praying about a fresh word, something to share this morning, excited to come and give the heart with you all. And it just wasn't quite coming, you know. And then I had this message. I was going to get to lead the prayer time at the gazebo before the 4th of July parade, and they canceled the parade and canceled my prayer meeting. So I was ready to come share about freedom and ready the freedom that we have in Christ and freedom of our nation and bless the nation. But, you know, it just wasn't settled in my spirit. And then Friday morning, I knew why. That wasn't the message for this morning. Message for this morning was to come alongside our family, our body of Christ, and let the grief, let the questions, let the hurts, let all that come up, not just come up and push it back down, or not just come up and spill it out over somebody else, but let it come up and release it to the Lord. Amen? Because God is here. God is for us. Like it says in Psalm 34, He draws near to the brokenhearted. He saves the crushed in spirit. Even though many are the afflictions of the righteous, the Lord delivers them through them all. Don't you like that word? Through them all. Through it all. Through it all. My eyes are on Him. What a beautiful song. What a beautiful prayer. What a declaration of the heart that God gives us. Through it all. We're going to go through some stuff in this broken, fallen world, right? You know, that first question that comes up many times in a tragedy, why, God? Why did that happen? How could that happen? I mean, my goodness, there are little girls at a Christian camp swept down the river. Oh, I talked to a friend of mine this morning, Pastor John Sparks, who lives over in Hunt and has a church, a little church in Kerrville. I was trying to hear what's going on, and he shared with me. Friend of his, the leader of that camp, Dick Eastman, was literally surrendered his life going down the river. trying to save every little girl that he could. What a picture of Jesus. This is love, that we would lay down our lives for a friend, surrender our lives for one another. What a picture of God's love. And yet the tragedy, can you imagine the tragedy of his wife, his family, experiencing that? Those families that waited at the collection centers to find out if their loved one was snatched up out of that river. And praise God, that little girl, 22 miles down the river that Pastor Brian was telling us about, praise God, only God can do that. And at the same time, we grieve for those who didn't get snatched out of that river. Some we don't even know if they're safe or not. But how we need the Lord in a time like this. We do not grieve as those who have no hope. We grieve as those who know that our faith is secure. Our hope is secure. Our hope is not in a condition or a person or hoping that somehow nothing bad will ever happen to us in a broken, fallen world. Our hope is in the one who holds the world in his hands. Amen. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. In this world, you will go through trouble, but fear not. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. That's the God we serve. That's the God we look to in the trouble. That's the only way we can say it is well. Only way we can say it is well with my soul, because we're looking to the one who holds the world in his hands. We're looking to the one who says, even though you go through these struggles, I'm with you in the midst of it. Those words of hope that the Lord was bringing to my heart since Friday was that declaration of hope in Isaiah 53. Do not fear, for I am with you. Though you go through the rivers, through the waters, even through the fires, they shall not overwhelm you, overcome you. They shall not consume you, for I am with you, says the Lord. You are precious in my sight. I love you and I honor you. That's the heart of our God. And that word, that's by no accident that it says, even though you go through the waters, even you go through the rivers, through the fires. See, he's saying you will not be protected and insulated all the time, every day in this broken, fallen world from going through the waters and the rivers and the fires. But when you do, when you go through them, they shall not overcome you or overwhelm you, for I am with you. You know, sometimes that means God delivers us like that little girl that got snatched out of the river. Sometimes that means God's with us in the pain, in the suffering, in the struggle. He's with us. Be real. He says to me, my child, I know your grief. I know your sorrow. I know what you're going through, for my son has gone through more than this world can understand. But I am with you, says the Father. Does that sound like the Father heart of God? Even right now, just receive the word of the Father in our hurting souls and our grieving hearts. Let him draw near to us in our brokenheartedness. Let us draw near to us where we're feeling crushed and weary in our spirits. Let him lift us up. As we humble ourselves in his sight, he lifts us up. He lifts us up into his Father's arms. Anybody here need to feel the Father's arms this morning? He is here. His arms are wide. He invites us, come. Come into his arms. Don't push down the grief. Don't push down the sorrow. Don't even silence the questions. Did y'all know it's okay to ask the question? I mean, the question, why, God? How could you? Where were you? Why did you? I mean, those are valid questions, right? Sometimes just read through the Psalms. Boy, David, King David, he keeps it real in the Psalms, doesn't he? They're all full of, oh, God, why? Oh, God, how? Oh, God, look at them. Look what they're doing. And, oh, hold me back, you know. But sooner or later, those questions go to the who. The why goes to the who. Who is the one who's with me? Who is the one who never leaves me, never forsakes me? Who is the one who brings me through the rivers, through the waters, through the valleys? Psalm 23, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, you comfort me. Isn't that an encouraging word from the word of the Lord? That's the heart of our Father. It's the heart of the one who's with us through it all. One invites us to lift up our eyes on Him, open up our heart to Him, even release those questions to Him, the why. You know, I know some people teach that you're not ever supposed to ask God why. I don't believe that. I don't think that's biblical. I think the Bible's full of people asking God why. King David represents that more than anybody else, I think. It's important to ask the question why. It's important to let the pain come up. It's important to even give voice to it. Sometimes we want to say the questions, we want to express the grief, but we bury it down inside. You know, Rosie and I do a lot of inner healing, spiritual freedom ministry, and sometimes people struggle with depression. And you know what they found? That one of the biggest roots that manifest in the fruit of depression is anger that's buried. Questions that are buried. Hurt, trauma that's buried down inside. They stuff it. They bury it. They put the wall around it. They say, I'm fine. I'm detached. I don't even want to feel this. I couldn't bear feeling this. And we just bury it down inside. And the fruit of that can be depression. The fruit of that can be, in a moment, something triggers, and whoo, all that comes up like a volcano. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, don't look to the person next to you and say, I know what he's talking about. But that's what happens. We bury stuff down inside, and God says, no, don't bury it. Give it to me. I can handle it. I take it from you, off your heart. See, Jesus fulfilled Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our infirmities, carried our diseases. Some versions say our griefs and our sorrows, all the chastisement, all the punishment that should have been upon us has already been laid upon him that we might be made whole, that by his stripes we were healed. That's the God we serve. That's the God who knows our suffering. Like Pastor Brian was saying from Hebrews 4, he's a God who's experienced everything, everything but without the sin. He's experienced more grief or sorrow or heartbreak than we can even imagine. And sometimes it's hard to imagine. There's more. Somebody told me this morning, you know, God doesn't give us more than we can handle, but he's right on the verge sometimes, you know. And that's an invitation just to be real. Keep it real. Who wants to keep it real this morning? Who thinks God brought you here among the body of Christ today to keep it real, to let God bring it up, and lift it off, to take it out? Believe it. Believe that's an anointing of the Lord here among us today. Today we praise God, we celebrate God, we thank God for this nation we have and the freedoms that we have, and at the same time, we come to God with our questions. We come to God with our grief, with our sorrow. Oh my goodness, I was calling around to friends in that area called Dr. Sandy Kirk this morning. And she was one of the leaders of the fire school at the Brownsville Revival. And the Lord had her move here. She lives along the Guadalupe River because she wants to be part of the revival that God's releasing in the hill country. Amen. But I knew she lived down on the river, been to her house, and said, what, are you okay? And how's it going? She said she was awakened Friday morning from her bed from the sound of screams of people being flooded down the river. I mean, that's trauma. That's pain. That's hurt. That's injustice. That's where things are not right. And you have to question, how could that happen? How could that happen, Lord? How could that happen among the righteous, among the Christians, among people that believe in you? And sometimes, you know, the questions come, why? Or, well, did they deserve it? Or is there some evil going on, you know, in Kerrville? Or has the darkness come? You know, they had questions in Jesus' day. I was looking back at Luke chapter 13. He's speaking to the people. And somebody says, well, what about what happened the other day when Pontius Pilate slayed a bunch of people on the Temple Mount and their blood was poured out? And Jesus says, yeah, that. And what about the other day when at the Tower of Siloam it fell and 18 people were crushed? You know, those are questions. Question about what happens when the government acts with wickedness, or people make choices that break our hearts, that cause woundedness, destruction. What happens when nature, so to speak, brings down a tower and kills people suddenly? See, we have these questions. Things happen, traumatic events, things that are going on in our world. We ask the questions. We want to know why. Well, I'll tell you one answer to the why, and I for sure don't have all the answers. Anybody here have all the answers? I mean, even when we go to the one who knows all the answers, we open up his book. You can't look up chapter and verse every answer to every question that we go through today. But I tell you, one answer the Lord brings me in times like these is from Romans 5. Death entered the world through sin. And death, that means destruction, sickness, disease, wars, earthquakes, quakes, floods, droughts. All the evil destruction that we experience in this world goes all the way back to the beginning when death entered the world through sin. It's been passed on generation to generation and situation to situation. Death is at work in the world. And Jesus addressed the issue of death. He said in John 10:10, I came that you would have life and have it abundantly. Abundant life is what Jesus comes for us to have. But he also said in the same verse, John 10:10, but there is a thief. And the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. Those are the red letter words of Jesus. I know some of y'all, you get your Bible on your phone, but in my Bible, it still has red letters when Jesus is talking. I spent 1 year just going through, but like the Lord said, don't read anything but the red letters. Boy, that was a good year. The words of Jesus every day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But in those red letter words, I came that you'd have life and have it abundantly. But there is a thief, and that thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So when you have a question, boy, that's my go-to answer right there. God's word, revealing God's will, God's answer. And you might think that's maybe naive or a little too simplistic, but that is my theology. That is my faith. That is a rock on which I stand. God is good. Satan is bad. God brings life. The devil brings death. When I have a question about, well, is this destruction? Is this deep loss? Is that from God, God's will, or is that the devil? I'm likely to say, it's the devil, because that's what Jesus said. He said, I came that you'd have life and have it abundantly. The thief is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It was not God's will that those little girls get washed down the river. That was the enemy. That was death at work in the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, the last enemy in this world to be destroyed is death. Now, what that means is we're going through our journey in this broken, fallen world, and there's going to be death. There's going to be destruction. There's going to be battles. There's going to be losses that we have, places where we grieve and we have sorrow or injustice and we're angry. Those things are going to happen. Anybody experience that? Now, I'm talking about since you became a Christian. Have you experienced any of that? I see some hands. Because that's how it works in a broken, fallen world. See, when Jesus came the first time, he said, the kingdom of God is among you. But it won't be until Jesus comes back the second time that the kingdom of God is fully established here on earth as it is in heaven. And we live in between the coming of Jesus and the next coming of Jesus. And right now in this in-between time, we're going through tribulation. We're going through struggles. We're going through traumas. We're going through disappointments and hurt and pain and shame and all those things. Even if you're in Christ and Christ is in you. Am I just keeping it real? But God says, while you go through it, don't stuff it. Don't bury it. Don't detach. Don't dissociate from it. Be fully alive to it. But let me come into it with you. For the Lord our God, he says, I am with you. Though you go through the waters, though you go through the fires, through the rivers, do not fear, for I love you. You're precious in my sight. I honor you, and I am with you. Jesus said, I'm with you always. How about that? A God who knows our suffering, a God who's experienced everything we've been through, a God who set aside the glory of heaven but humbled himself in the likeness of human flesh and blood, Philippians chapter 2, so that we could have this mind in us that was in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself, and therefore God exalted him, gave him the name above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Amen. That's our God. He says, look to me, look to the exalted one. Have this mind in you that was in me, says the Lord Jesus. I've overcome this world. In this world, you will have trouble. He's keeping it real. That's a promise from God. How many want to receive that promise? But it is what it is. In this world, we will experience trouble and trauma and hurt and pain and have all those questions. But he's saying, look to me through it all. Keep lifting your eyes to me through it all. I'm with you. I'm for you. We have a God who says, if God be for us, who can stand against us? We have a God who says nothing in this world will separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Not death or life, not angels or demons, not powers, principalities, not things present or things to come. Nothing in all creation shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So you can only know that kind of love, only know that kind of security, only know that kind of a rock. That's your security in the midst of the battles and the storms if you are in Christ Jesus and he is in us. When they asked Jesus about those current events, the struggles, you know, where Pilate had murdered the people in the Temple Mount, where the Tower of Siloam fell, you know what his answer was? He says, repent. In other words, have a change of mind, change of heart that leads to right actions. Repent, lest you perish as well. You might say, well, that doesn't sound very fatherly or comforting in a moment. What was he saying? He was saying those things happen suddenly. Nobody was expecting those things to happen. Tell you what, the day before that flood came down the Guadalupe River, the weathermen, nobody saw it coming. It was a suddenly. They say the waters rose 30 feet on that river in 45 minutes. There was really no time to respond, no time to act there. It came suddenly. And what I hear the Lord saying in that is we live in a broken, fallen world. And things can happen suddenly. Suddenly something can happen. You lose your life. Suddenly something can happen. You lose a child, a marriage, your finances, your hopes, your dreams. Suddenly things can happen. Is that right? And the Lord is saying, before the suddenly happens, you be ready. Before the suddenly happens, let your heart be right. Let your heart be right. Even right now this morning, even as I'm sharing this from my heart, from the Father heart of God, I sense there are some of us even here or online who need their hearts to be right with the Lord. Let's just be praying that if there's anybody who needs to be right with the Lord, that they're ready for the suddenlies in their life, that they would be ready to be with the Lord forever. Because if we're not ready, we will not be with the Lord forever. That's about our eternal destiny. You know, but at the same time, there are the suddenlies that happen that can leave us crippled and wounded and stuck and isolated and buried inside with grief and sorrow if we're not prepared. And the Lord says, you don't have to be unprepared. I am here. I love you. I am for you. I have laid down my life for you that you might have abundant life in me, says the Lord Jesus. Because we're going to battle death in this broken, fallen world. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. And one day death will be destroyed. I think of it like a world ruler. You know, God is coming. He's moving. He's advancing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Darkness is going to cover the face of the earth. Deep darkness will cover the people. But at the same time, God's light will arise. God's light will shine in his people. We'll have both, right? The darkness and the light. And the Lord has called us to be part of the light. Part of those whose hearts are right in him, that we can endure, we can get through. I kind of woke up this morning with one of those songs that our team sings up here about the winds came. No, rains came, wind blew. But I will get through. My house is built on you. Isn't that a good word? That's the invitation all of us have right now, before the storms come, before the winds blow, before the floods come rushing into our life. Let's be right with God. Let's our house be built on Him. Let our hope rest in Him, and He will bring us through. Through the rivers, through the waters, through the fires, through whatever comes against us in this broken, fallen world, we can be secure in Him. Through it all, our eyes can be on Him. And as we behold the Lord, He strengthens us. He encourages us. He gets us through. But let us not be tempted to bury it inside, to put up the wall, to detach. Be fully alive to it, but release it to God. You know, I have a lot of friends who are intercessors. They feel, they sense what's going on. And God is teaching us how to feel it, be fully alive to it, but to bear that burden to Jesus. Because we're tempted in compassion and mercy to feel it and then bury it inside. Feel it and we absorb it, we carry it. And it's almost like we think we're doing something good by that. But Jesus says, I am the burden bearer. I am the Savior. I am the healer. Only I have the grace of God to carry that. But we have to give it to Jesus, not bury it, not absorb it, not deny it or detach from it, be fully alive to it, but bear those burdens to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Even today, I believe some of us that have absorbed the trauma, absorbed the shock or the pain, or we have those questions, the Lord's inviting us to let it go, give it over to Him. Walk out of these doors today knowing you've released that to the Lord. Not saying I'm detached, I'm not going to go pray. Friend of mine this morning said, hey, I'm going to go up to the empty cross this evening, and we're going to have a gathering of people that whoever will come and pray. You know, Garrett is going to have a prayer gathering. So, yeah, we're going to pray. We're going to feel. We're going to experience. Some of us are going to get on our rubber boots and go get out in the creek and help and get our chainsaws and cut things in the right time. You know, we're going to be active in this, but at the same time, don't detach from it. Don't bury it. Don't stuff it. Let's give it to God. Even this morning, let's make that commitment in our hearts. God, I'm going to feel it, be fully alive to it, not going to ignore it, but I'm going to give it to you. And as we give it to God, He brings us through. Well, that rhymes. I'm going to give it to you. As I give it to you, you'll bring me through. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm sharing this message. It always comes out a little bit different this morning. And a good friend of mine came up and shared me. He came up while we're doing the last worship song and just pouring out some things from his heart. And I just felt it'd be good. It's all right with Pastor Brian to let Doug come and just share that. So, Doug, do I need a microphone or anything for him?
Probably not.
Oh, come on, for the folks. I'd say Doug's last name, but I can't pronounce it. Spredo.
Lord, give me words. Perfect sermon, Tommy, man. I know we all need it, and I know I need it. I'm usually a pretty tough guy. Bunch of us camping on the river, Trevor Shriner Park, we were uphill, we were safe. We do it every 4th of July, ride down the river trail for the fireworks. The rain started, you know, all that night, and next morning just started getting bad words, and I'm hearing bad things, people I know, and I've spent my working career providing food to the camps, and my daughter went to Mystic, and her cousin and my ex worked there for 20 years, and I just know all those people and all the camps. And as the, you know, the words kept coming, you know, we had no electricity there. I tried to get out, and the gate was, of course, wouldn't open. I took it apart, and we went home, and I grabbed some chainsaws and just to do whatever I could, drove out to the river, and
hold it a little closer.
Oh, sorry. Okay, thank you. Do I have to start over? I know seven people who lost their lives, and that's bound to go up. And I know you guys feel the same way I do. You know, I didn't lose anybody in my family, but you know, I've been okay till I came into this church this morning. Now I'm a wet noodle. You know, just to tell you a few things that I know. What I've been told by a few is Dick Eastland, the owner of Mystic, drove into the water to help save the girls, ended up floating down the river 5 miles with five other girls. They all made it. He didn't. His son's fighting for his life in the hospital now. That would be Edward Eastland. Jeannie Ragsdale, who owns Camp Heart of the Hills, didn't know that all the counselors got all the kids up into the top buildings. And she, when she awoke, and she's frantically looking, and the flood got her too. She passed. My across the street neighbor lost their granddaughter. Another neighbor in the neighborhood lost a son that was in just a cabin up a little from Mystic. And so, you know, it just, I'm doing what you're saying. I was stuffing, I guess. And just coming in here and hearing this, I know it's the right thing for us all to let it out. And so let it out, and God comfort those people, please.
Yes, thank you, Doug. Y'all, amen, amen. Why don't we just stretch out our hands toward Doug and all that he represents, even right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, for our brother Doug, but also for all those who are touched in a deeply personal way by all that's going on, Lord, would you be so present? We know you are, but we are agreeing with your presence, Lord. Draw near to every broken heart. Save every spirit that's crushed and wounded. Even though many are these afflictions, what we're going through, Lord, you're with us through it all. You deliver us through it all, God. So just heal Doug, strengthen him, encourage him, give him the grace, all the grace that he needs to be a part of the answer to people's prayers and helping in this situation and with us too, Lord. But we're just putting all this into your hands. We're not denying the trauma. We're denying the hurt or the pain, the questions, even the guilt of someone not also dying or being hurt, Lord. We just renounce all that false guilt. We renounce guilt, depression, discouragement. Lord, lift off grief and sorrow. Help us be real with it, honest to it, alive to it. But Lord, we're giving it to you. Would you come lift it up and take it off Doug, off of those that are experiencing this, off everyone here this morning. We give it to you, Lord, because our eyes are on you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Doug. Thank you. I wasn't sure Doug would be up to sharing that, but thank you, Doug. Oh, so that's our prayers. Invite the prayer team to come, the worship team. And let's just let God minister his healing love to us this morning, okay? You know, whether you think you need it or not, whether it's for now and the days ahead, the news yet to come, let's let God minister to it, to us. Let him lift it up, take it off of us. Just be in agreement with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, you know everything we are going through. And we just welcome your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of living God, who is the comforter, who is that dimension of God, who comes alongside us, who abides within us to get us through these kind of traumas, these kind of tribulations, troubles that we go through in this broken, fallen world. Lord, would you come and heal hearts today? Thank you for giving us the freedom to grieve, the freedom to speak it out, pray it out, give it over to you, Lord. So we pray, even this morning, there be a supernatural lifting of grief, lifting of sorrow, lifting of the anger, the hurt. Thank you for freedom even to speak out the questions to you, and let those questions lead to the who, to the God who is with us, the God who is for us, the God who never leaves us, never forsakes us, but who is always with us. Thank you, Lord. We pray that healing, that freedom here among us today in the name of Jesus. Lord, magnify those prayers out across the hill country, up and down the rivers, up and down the banks, all along the way, God. We're trusting in you. Even though the enemy has come in like a flood, you will lift up a standard. You will lift up a banner. And the banner over us is your love. The love of God will get us through. The love of God that never fails. Let us experience that. Have that here in our hearts today. And Father, if there is anyone here in this place or looking in online who doesn't have that security, that confidence in you, that when the winds blow and the rains come and the storms happen and the floods of life come, that we can be grounded in you, find our hope in you, our house is built on you, and you will get us through. Or if that's somebody even here right now, I just invite you, would you just raise your hand right now, that you want Jesus to be your strength, you want him to be your stability. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Thank you. Anybody? Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Anybody else? Let this be the day of salvation. Let this be the day you give your heart to Jesus. Let him be your security, your rock, your fortress. Let there be a way God turns this tragedy into a glorious day for you. Well, Father, everyone, those that just held up their hands, we just agree. Let's all just pray with them. Father, say it out loud. Father, you are a good God, and you've revealed yourself through Jesus Christ. I open up my heart to you, Jesus. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. My security. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I put my life in your hands. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we celebrate with those four or any others that received Jesus as Savior today. Let us know. Let the pastor staff know. We want to pray with you, celebrate with you. And we just bless you, what God's doing in your hearts. And I join with you in prayer and intercession for all our neighbors and for all of us who are carrying this burden. We carry it to Jesus. He is worthy of our trust. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Bless you.